Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Dawson sits in on the news, and it turns into rock and roll news. What else would it turn into? But kind of an interesting story, and stories coming up here on the news, as well as the Iceman, Chuck Liddell, joining us at the end for All Balls, All Sports. First, let me tell you about Bet Online. Football's in full swing, plus NBA Finals and MLB playoffs. You might not be at the game, but you can still get in on all the action at Bet Online. This Sunday, NFL, we got some good games coming up. Raiders at Chiefs, Eagles at Steelers, Giants at Cowboys, Broncos at Patriots, Vikings at Seahawks, Dolphins at 49ers. It's all there. At BetOnline, more options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads and totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on division and championship futures as well. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. And don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Like I said, Chuck Liddell's coming. Also, I'm going to play you a couple of songs from Jerry Lewis's son from back in the day. That's going to blow your mind where we're at musically versus where we ended up just a couple of years later. And first, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. No one should feel unsafe at home, period. There is no place for fear at home, and that's been Simply Safe's mission from day one. Protect your home. Do it today. Get free shipping at Simply Safe. Two eyes. SimplySafe.com/Adam.
Reporting live from Dudeseldorf, it's the news with Mike Dawson.
Yes, live from Dudeseldorf. We touched on this at the beginning of the show, but it's worth talking about again. Eddie Van Halen is dead at 65, the guitarist for Van Halen. The news was broke to the world by his son and Kalen Bean's former schoolmate, Wolfie Van Halen. Mm. He tweeted, "I can't believe I'm having to write this, but my father, Edward Ludwig Van Halen, has lost his long and arduous battle with cancer this morning. He was the best father I could ever ask for. Every moment I've shared with him on and off stage was a gift. My heart is broken, and I don't think I'll ever fully recover from this loss. I love you so much, Pop."
Whenever I think about him, I think of a sort of a little bit of a tortured soul and maybe a certain amount of waste. I guess I look at everything as sort of potential in life. I'm very waste oriented. I don't mind regular folk who have regular jobs and do what they do, but then sometimes I see someone who's amazingly talented and gifted and has that background, but yet so much energy seemed to go out to arguing or, you know, like Van Halen in any iteration, whether it was David or whether it was Sammy, I just feel like that they're just gone. They should have just been churning out albums and touring and wowing crowds for the last 20 years, like nonstop. And yet, no.
Well, Eddie Van Halen's body of work is probably the strongest of, I would say, any guitarist throughout rock and roll. All of his work, Van Halen never released anything bad. They never cut a bad record. But when you talk about, you know, other artists that maybe we lost a little too soon, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, you'd be thinking about what would he be doing today. I think the difference between that and Eddie Van Halen is we can look back on Eddie's catalog and say, okay, he did it. He gave it all to us.
No, I agree. I feel sad because it makes me feel old, because Van Halen is just one of those bands that reminded me of being young, and they're just always ubiquitous and had all those hits. I think my favorite, I told Max Apad to pull it, was now he's got to hit up Kalen, but it's a deep, well, not a deep cut, but Ain't Talking About Love. It didn't get the spins that it doesn't get the spins now that a lot of Van Halen hits get, but this was just an unbridled rock and roll song. Like, yeah. It just started beginning, middle, end. Just the beginning.
And there are certain guitar players that just by their tone...
Well, you know who they are.
You know who they are. Right. Eddie Van Halen's certainly one of those guys.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Adam?
We're all enjoying ourselves.
I get that, yeah.
Kids like to have a good time.
Yeah.
I actually do cover this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we play it.
It's raw, and it's got almost a little punk to it.
One of my favorite guitar riffs ever.
Yeah.
You know, in Van Halen's earlier days, when they'd be playing the Whiskey, when they were Van Halen with David Lee Roth, Eddie Van Halen would often take a note from the book of blues man Robert Johnson and turn his back to the crowd because so many guitarists would be going to Van Halen shows to see, okay, what the hell is Eddie doing? How does he do that?
Mm.
And he'd play with his back to the crowd so that they couldn't steal his licks.
Bring it. Sorry. Brian, you're low on our side. So
they're coming off the same feed because Dawson had the songs loaded on his computer, but he's doing the news and he brought it in. So we
can bring it
way.
Down. It's fine.
My mind works a little slower these days, so I just put two and two together. I look ahead. We have a guest calendar for anyone who's listening, and I like to look ahead, see who's coming up, do a little research, see which guests I'm not going to be allowed to talk to. And I saw tomorrow that August also makes mistakes, like frequently, like he put Candace Owen on the calendar. I was like, well, it's got to be Candace Owens, right, or whatever it was. And I saw tomorrow Patti Smyth is going to be on with an E, and I did a Google search. I'm like, is that the singer? And Patti Smyth of the Knee is a muscular therapist, so I can only assume it's the singer, who I'm a huge fan of, and I just learned she was offered the lead singer role in Van Halen between David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar.
I did not know that. I did
we'll
know.
Have to bring that up tomorrow.
Her first role was in Gentle Ben in 1961. That much I know, but we'll talk to them. All right. Well, anyway, a sad loss. And I never met Eddie Van Halen. I don't think I had a conversation with him. I can tell you, I didn't know much about, for a guy who's been in this town for a long time and sort of talked to everybody, I never really spoke to any of the Van Halen brothers. I probably talked to, David Lee Roth maybe a time or two. Seems like
both
David
took over for Howard Stern at the same time.
Right. Seems like those two would be volatile together. And then there's, what's the bass player's name?
Michael Anthony. Some call him the most fortunate bass player in all of rock and roll.
Michael Anthony is easily one of the nicest people I've ever met in my
absolutely.
Life. Just the friendliest, not nicest rock and roll guys, just one of the nicest guys. So it's interesting that he then got sandwiched in between some of the biggest head cases in the world. And I will say Sammy Hagar is a very nice guy as well. Kind of a driven businessman, but a very friendly guy. So anyway, all right, well, he'll be missed.
Well, there's lots of music news today, so before we get into more serious stuff, AC/DC releasing their first single in however many years. It seemed that, remember when AC/DC was on their last tour and they had Axl Rose fill in for the last few shows of their tour.
Is Brian Johnson still in the band?
Brian Johnson is back. It seemed that everybody, the band was basically dead. Yeah, drummer Phil Rudd sat out the entire last tour because he was in New Zealand arrested for attempting to procure a murder. That case ended with him only receiving 8 months on house arrest. Singer Brian Johnson missed the last 23 dates because of hearing loss. So he could no longer sing because hearing is an important part of singing. If you can't hear what note you're singing, you can't do it. And then bassist Cliff Williams just said he'd had enough and it was over. But during the last 4 years, Angus Young and the last members of the Back in Black lineup are back. The new single... it's called Shot in the Dark. It was released at midnight in New York today. And they're saying that there's some experimental hearing treatment that Brian Johnson was able to undergo. It took several years and lots of microbes, or you know, lots of wires in his head. Now it's a piece of machinery that somehow. Mm. But they're not really giving us too much on it. But the funny thing about AC/DC is there's an old radio joke that, you know, AC/DC is a great band. I love their song, because a lot of their songs are very much the same. We got a little clip of what you can hear from the new single. And that's all they're giving us. It sounds AC/DC.
Yeah, Brian Johnson's a big vintage car racing guy. And there was some story that the crazy loud cars did him in the decibel department, because there are painstakingly loud vehicles, but I think it's the rock and roll that probably did him in. It's the thing about... But he's a huge vintage car guy, which is huge in Europe, and does a lot of racing. And there was a series called, like, Going Racing with Brian Johnson, or some version of that. I can't think of what it was called, but it was a good kind of thing. He would go out. He would, like, test drive these cars. He'd take these old multi-million-dollar Jags and stuff and put them on the track in Europe and drove in these events. And it was an interesting... Cars That Rock. Oh, yeah. Of course, it's got to be called Cars That Rock.
Your show is called Going Racing.
Mine is called Going Racing, but not with Brian Johnson.
No.
Oh, okay. That's different. Yeah. So. Cars That Rock, of course. But it was good. It was kind of a cool show for real vintage car guys.
It's funny we're talking about this on the day that Eddie Van Halen died, because Dawson, I'm sure you're on the same page. Angus Young is a very underrated guitarist. That guy can fucking rock.
He is, absolutely. And another one of those guys who just has that tone that, you know, Angus is Angus, and he's irreplaceable. Now, if it was Malcolm Young, Angus's brother, who played rhythm guitar for AC/DC, he passed away after battling dementia for a couple of years. Now, if that was Angus Young who died, AC/DC would be done. Mm. AC/DC is Angus Young.
Well, it's bizarre to think of touring and bands and stadiums and arenas and rock and people on their feet and chicks on shoulders giving wingers, and I can't even think that way. It's like I've been so poisoned by our current climate. I'm like, well, what would a band do these days? Like, they'd have to do some sort of video conference concert or something, but at some point we're going to be back out there and people are going to want to see these bands. All right.
Final news story for today. Remember the long-running case against Led Zeppelin? It's been in the courts for frickin' ever.
No,
I didn't
know this.
Copyright infringement of Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, that.
Signed,
yeah.
Sued by Randy California from the
band Spirit.
Of all
the songs they've stolen, why that one?
Yeah. Right. So, essentially, the courts ruled back in March that they've never extended copyright protection to just a few notes. That a four-note sequence common in the music field is not copyrightable. Well, it's finally over because they tried to get it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court told the estate of Randy California, give it up, bro. It's over.
Mm.
So
they didn't say the word bro, though. That doesn't sound very
said
Supreme Court-y.
Yeah.
Said brosif, but the story.
Yeah, that's a weird lot in life where you accuse somebody of stealing your song or your intellectual property or whatever that thing is. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but then you spend the next 14 years pursuing it, you know? Like, at a certain point, who's the joke on? Like, write a song. Or isn't sort of... It's sort of like, well, then if you could write a song, or at least you could write the chords to the song that's one of the biggest songs in rock and roll of all time, then just go out and write another killer song or 10 killer songs. Like, kind of get on with it. So,
right.
I feel kind of bad for this dude. Well, on the other hand, is Led Zeppelin ever coming back in any version? Like, you know, once at a certain point, you know, John Bonham's got a kid. He's a big drummer, right, you know, Jason. So you can, Jason Bonham, you can physically take guys with the same last name and like swap them out in different position. You become like Barry Bonds.
They did play one small show about a decade, 20 years ago, maybe, with Jason Bonham on drums. But as far as.
Do Page and Plant still perform together?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
Robert Plant is releasing another solo album. It might be out already. I'll have to double check on that. But I think there will. When Bonham died, Led Zeppelin died. All the guys said that, and so it's just wishful thinking, mostly on the part of radio disc jockeys who just miss Led Zeppelin so much. That's any time that comes back in the news. Oh, we might get Led Zeppelin again. No, it's not going to happen.
Will we ever have that kind of prolific rock and roll from a band? In the sense that now things are sampled and there's, you know, DJ this and collaborating with that. But will we ever have that band that just cranks out? I won't even say hits. I'll just say. Some hits, some not hits, but just incredible masterpiece songs, just one after the other for prolonged periods of time. Like, and if so, or maybe why not? I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, there are bands out there. There's contemporary bands, and Foo Fighters sell a lot of tickets, and you know, sell albums and things like that. But is there going to be another Led Zeppelin?
I think the Foo Fighters probably have the biggest chance to be that, but I really don't think so. I think that the world has changed in so many different ways in the last 30 years that I just don't think longevity is a part of it anymore. Well, Brian, I mean, there's still the Rolling Stones. They're still touring.
Brian is a big Beatles fan, of course. Right. Is there, see, the Foo Fighters, while I like the Foo Fighters, they don't vary like the Beatles vary. They don't have the range that the Beatles had or that Led Zeppelin had. Right. Led Zeppelin and the Beatles had many different hits from like many different genres in a sense.
Let me also point out that the Foo Fighters at this point are 25 years old. If they were going to do it, they would have done it by now. What I'm saying is the Beatles released 10 albums in 9 years. Mm-hmm. Zeppelin released 9 albums in 10 years. You know, right. Whatever that formula is. Those were prolific bands that were just teeming with creativity. You know, there's so many guys right. in the band could do so many things. And also, like Dawson said, you're so fractured. It's all about Spotify. It's all about singles. It's all about YouTube. Like, I just don't see these album-oriented bands being that big, like a big, big, like the Zeppelin of their day.
Well, the format in the 70s especially was you wrote a record, you recorded that record, then you went out and toured that record. While you're out touring that record, you're writing the next record. So mm-hmm. as soon as you get home, you're back in the studio with a new record, then back out on tour, and then while you're on the road, on the bus, you're writing the next record. Right. And so that's how bands were able to come out with a new record every single year. They'd tour in the summer, write an album, cut in the winter.
Right.
And then put it out. And that just doesn't happen anymore.
Thus, every third song was about being in a tour bus and fucking right. groupies
exactly.
when they rolled into a town near you. All right, yeah, let me hit...
Life is your inspiration.
Let me hit LifeLock here. Certain behaviors can make you more vulnerable to identity theft, like using the same password on every account, oversharing personal information on social media. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk out there on the internet. You can miss certain threats. You're just monitoring your credit alone. Good thing there is a LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. Protect yourself, people. If they detect your information is out there, they will send you an alert. It's 2000 and almost 21. Protect your identity with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can find out if your information is on the dark web. Get your free dark web scan at LifeLock.com/scan. Pick the plan that's right for you and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. That's a free scan at LifeLock.com/scan and 25% off with promo code Adam.
Wow, I didn't know you did that live.
Yeah.
Tells it all.
So it's interesting what you and Brian are saying, which is maybe there will never be another Led Zeppelin, not because there won't be a talented group of people that come together. It's that formatically it's not going to be conducive. You're not right. going to have – you need that rhythm of the format, and right. that format is not going to force anyone to come out those great albums anymore.
And yes. force is the good word. The lifestyle would force mm-hmm. an right. album every year.
And Dawson, what? The Zeppelin came out with their Led Zeppelin 1 in 69. Imagine they had come out just 10 years earlier, formed a band. Like – their style of music would not have worked, wouldn't have been played, it wouldn't have been acknowledged. Like that was the era of 2.5 minute songs mm-hmm. played on the radio. They couldn't do Stairway to Heaven or any of their albums.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's all about where you are, when you are, you know, and then of course who you are.
Yeah. Also what you're ingesting. Like you needed a lot of pot to listen to a 7 minute song versus, you know, Jerry and the Dreamers doing this diamond ring doesn't shine for me anymore. And this stuff is like also pop, 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 pop. Back then, it just didn't work. And then you usher in this sort of pot kind of fueled vibe. And if you think about it, like that stuff was, you're just made to get stoned and listen to yeah. a 7 minute song, which just didn't work with ditties. Yes.
And you can thank the Beatles for that because they were the biggest band. They're like, fuck that. We're doing the White Album. We're doing double albums full of fucking experimental beeps and boops.
Right.
And they drove the industry.
And the music business during the Beatles was all on singles. It was actually Led Zeppelin who changed that. Their manager, Peter Grant, was like, we're not doing singles. Mm. You want it? Buy the album.
By the way, I think Gary Lewis and the Playboys, who was Jerry Lewis's son, sung this Diamond Ring. Yeah, Gary Lewis and the Playboys had a couple of hits. This Diamond Ring was probably one of them, and maybe one other hit. And that was Jerry Lewis's kid. I bet they had a wonderful relationship as adults. And that was they had a couple of top 10 hits. Or top, I don't know, they had some couple of number ones like this Diamond Ring and stuff.
Diamond Ring, Count Me In.
Count Me In. Oh, if you got Count Me In. If you want to hear the antithesis, the polar opposite of a Led Zeppelin song that came just 4 years later, basically in terms of time, maybe 5 years later in time, Count Me In. If you want to hear what people were listening to, and what was it, Chris, 1965?
Dawson, yeah, watch this up with the Immigrant Song.
This is right after the Diamond Ring, this Diamond Ring.
All right, tell me, can you hear us okay, Brian?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, here it is.
If you need someone to count on, count me in.
It's timeless.
Someone you can rely on.
Reach number two.
Number two in the country.
When you start to count the ones that you might ever doubt.
This is 3 years before Led Zeppelin.
This is the same riff as Fool in the Rain.
Right.
Count me out. When you count the ones that want you.
This could be on Sesame Street to teach people how to count.
This is 65. Count me blue.
Just be sure you count on me.
When the counting's through. Count on me, in love with the organ.
The Beatles did Sgt. Pepper a year and a half later.
I know.
Wow.
It was
what a chasm.
So...
if you need someone.
Can you imagine young Gary Lewis like saying to Jerry, hey, I come up with another hit, son. I work with Sinatra and Dean Martin. That's not a fucking hit. It's number two on the American Billboard. Yeah, get the fuck out of my office.
When you're down and out, count me in through thick and thin.
Count me out. Here. All right. Yes, we went from bubblegum to the greatest. The Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones all came right on the heels of that. And that was an obscure song. That was number two in America, wow. Everyone. All right, let me hit Madison Reed, mister, and then we'll bring it on home with Dawson over here. Working from home, spent a little too much time with the gray and the beard and the gray on the temples. Madison Reed, mister. Gray blending, natural color for your hair and beard. You got to see the before and after shots. Just hop on their website, Madison Reed, mister. No shoe polish look, I can tell you that right now. Want a little more pepper and a little less salt? Madison Reed Mister makes it easy to get the color match. Lynette loves this stuff, the Madison Reed. I love the Madison Reed Mister. It's easy. Just run it through your fingers, pick out the right shade, up and done in about 10 minutes. Rinse it out and look newer. A newer you. It's Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com. And use code Corolla for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
All right, nice job, Dawson.
Thank you, boss.
And Brian.
Oh,
and
one more bit of news.
Mm. Oh,
Keith Richards still alive. Just want to put it out there.
Is that Mike August said that?
We'll bring it home, and then we'll bring in Chuck Liddell and Jeff Cesaro, and we'll do the sports. Bring it home. You got it.
Don't worry, Gina. Your job is safe. That was the news with Mike Dawson.
All right. Adios, guys. I'll be back to talk to Chuck the Iceman Liddell and Jeff Cesario right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. Bet Online presents All Balls, All Sports.
Well, today in the Bet Online guest chair, former UFC light heavyweight champ and Hall of Famer, and of course, wrestled collegiately for the Cal Poly San Luis Obispo Mustangs, Chuck Liddell. How are you, Chuck?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, that good.
Commercial, the all balls thing is hilarious. Okay. I thought that they were punking me back in the day when I was doing one of those things for pay-per-view, and they keep putting the things, okay. Hey, watch UFC on this station. Watch UFC on that station. Then it said, watch UFC on balls. Oh, come on. But went to the Philippines, and one of the parties was sponsored by Balls, which was their extreme sports station. So it was actually called Balls, so no one was messing with me. I thought someone was messing with me when I read that.
Who would mess with you, Chuck Liddell? That's got to be the question everyone's got to ask. Cage Fighter, Worlds Collide, it's in theaters and on demand Friday, starting Friday, this Friday, October 9th. And by the way, Chuck's website is Chuck Liddell, two D's and two L's, by the way. ChuckLiddell.com is where you go just to get a plug-in for you. Chuck, who do you like? Who do you like in the UFC right now? What are you thinking? I've been making money off of Israel Alessandro or whatever, however you pronounce his last name.
Yeah, I mean, I like that kid. He's a tough fighter. I really didn't like him before. I spent a couple of days with him in Saudi Arabia, and he's just a cool guy. I really like it. I hadn't really followed him much until then, but he's great. And he's a great fighter. He's fun to watch. And he was a performer. He like gets out there and likes to have fun.
How about Khabib?
Man, you can't say anything bad about Khabib. He's one tough guy. He's able to do handle everybody's face. This fight coming up with Gaethje, though, I'm interested to see how it goes. You know, because I've seen guys be able, if you can get him, if you get past the first couple of rounds with him, you know, and still have some energy left. I mean, you have a shot at him in the third or fourth round. You know, that punch of power could be problems in the later rounds.
I'm looking forward to that fight as well. Chuck, was there anybody that you got in the ring with that scared you or that scared you more than others? Like, who were the guys you've done, you know?
I was never that way. I mean, I don't think I ever, you know, I've never been intimidated by anybody. I mean, I just don't. I always think I can beat you. I always think I can beat the guy in front of me. So, I was never really, and I was, the more someone tried to intimidate me outside the cage, the less it was intimidating. Because I always felt like if you got to really try to do that to me right now, you're really trying to, you're overcompensating. You're worried about me. If you're really trying, because you get the guys before the fight, you know, I mean, we're fighting in 24 hours, bro. Like, It's going to be a while. You might want to calm down.
Right.
Calm your emotions right now. It's a little too early to get heated.
The now, I guess an interesting question. I mean, you were there at the very early, in the earlier days of UFC and mixed martial arts. Obviously, people weren't getting paid like they're getting paid now. They are definitely getting paid differently than they did back when you were. What were some of your earlier purses? Do you remember?
The first UFC I fought in, I got $1,000. But it was I was an alternate to a tournament, and actually, if I'd won, I would have got to fight in the finals of the tournament. If I got used, if someone got hurt, and I got to fight in the finals, I would have either $10,000 or $20,000 bonus, which would have been huge back then. The first fight contract that I was offered after the first UFC, after that UFC contract, was 1-1, 2-2, 3-3 for a year. Three fights in a year, and the total, I think, at the end, if I won all of them, would have been $12,000 for three fights.
Wow.
So, yeah. We did turn that one down. Dana, that was when Dana was actually my manager. Had just become my manager, and that was the first. So we turned that one down, and we went and fought on some smaller shows, and then came back to the UFC, got a better fight contract. But, I mean, I got it right before I started, before I fought in Pride, I got the it was a 5-5, 7.5, 7.5, 7,000, 7,500, 7,500, and 10-10 was the first deal Dana got me for the UFC.
So you get 10,000 a fight, is it?
That was, well, 10,000, I won the first one. Then the second one would have been 7,500 and 7,500. If 75 to show, so to show up, and if I win the fight, get that another 7,500.
Right.
And then, I fought Kevin Randleman for 10-10 and then knocked him out the first round. I got asked if I wanted to fight in Pride. There was a three-way negotiation went on. The UFC lent me to Pride. I knocked Guy Metzger out 2 weeks later in Pride. And I made 60 grand that month. And that was the most I'd made. That's more than I made my whole career at that point.
Is McGregor, what's Conor McGregor's status now?
I mean, he's still one of the biggest draws in the game. I mean, he really did a really good job of promoting himself. And, you know, and the thing with a guy like him is he brings in the fans that just watch. They're there for not even just the casual fans, but the ones that are out there because it's a big event and you have to watch it. So the more people, the broader audience you get, the better you're going to get paid. I mean, it makes sense for a promoter. That's what you do. You sell fights, you get paid better.
Is he have a fight scheduled? He's been kind of dormant a little bit, you know.
Yeah, he's been dormant. He hasn't got anything scheduled that I know of. And then he's talking about fighting. Now he's talking about fighting Pacquiao. So. I mean, I ain't mad at him with the boxing fights. I mean, because, you know, what do you make, $100 million, someone said on that other one? I don't know. I ain't mad at him. You're making money, and you got nothing to lose. I mean, you're fighting a boxer, and you're in his sport. It's different. I tell people all the time, striking's different from boxing to kickboxing. From kickboxing to MMA, it's different. They used to always say when all the kickboxers are coming to boxing get beat up, that proved that boxing is better than kickboxing. Well, you're having a guy that's a kickboxer fight a boxer. Now you move over into boxing to kickboxing. I mean, if you got a good leg kicker, I mean, I give a boxer about a round and a half to knock out the kickboxer, and then he's not going to be able to walk again. But he's not going to be able to walk for a little while. He's going to barely keep his leg, you know.
I have a flattering question to ask you. So, Jeff, when I had my old morning radio studio, we had one of those punching machines. It's basically a speed bag, and you whack it, and it goes back and tells you how many foot-pounds of pressure you hit the thing with. And it's accurate in that if a guy hits it hard, the number goes up, and if you hit it soft, you don't get much of a number. You've seen them around at arcades and stuff like that. We had one of those, and I used to box, and I just happened to I just happened to hit hard. So I was sort of at the top of the leaderboard. And then Chuck came in one morning, and Chuck didn't even throw a straight right. He threw kind of a open hook, a kind of a, maybe it was even a left hook, a kind of a thumb up, kind of wide open hook, and just sent the thing skyrocketing off the charts. And I realized from my experience that Chuck is heavy-handed. He just had pop in his hands. And it's not really anything you can teach. It's just there's something to that gift of really hitting hard that you can train and work all the technique you want and it'll help, but it'll never make you, I don't know, it's like saying being a great naturally gifted dancer is always going to beat someone who takes a bunch of lessons, no matter how disciplined they are, just having that soul. You know what I'm saying? And so Chuck had that. Chuck still has that, I'm sure. But was that just something that was in you? Was it a technique? Was it something that you tried to perfect, or were you just always heavy-handed?
Well, you know, I try to think about it this way. I was always like, I was able to knock guys out with elbows, and I had that general, I had power that way. I think John Hackelman actually really kind of harnessed and ate, allowed me to find it in other spots. Like I'd always had that snap. Like you say, I think I had the gift of it, but learning how to use it right can be taught. Learning how to use it with more than just, because I was really good with like short elbows, and I was really good with certain things. But then he was able to get me to where my left, my pot drop, I could drop you with my left hand, I could drop you with my right hand from out here, from different angles. And I think the one I probably threw with the room in your a little tight there, so I threw like my short right. It's kind of like a hook, straight right. It's kind of mixed between the two is what I threw at him. But
yeah,
it's
very
a hello, how are you? Punch
right. It's, yeah. It's very effective.
You hit a guy in the shoulder with that and knock him out.
yeah, it just
make him not want to play anymore.
It's just I kind of God given. It's just like it like being fast. You know, you can kind of train to be quick, but guys who just have flat out foot speed, that's just those guys. They're just that's
yeah. I mean, gift. I think there's a levels to things. You know, like something. Yeah, if you don't have that snap, but just getting someone to know how to use it and when to use it, or how to use it in a fight properly, or time it and do that stuff. That's where the coaching comes in. I mean, there's guys that, I mean, I know some fighters I think are, you know, they're technically sound, technically great. And, one of their biggest drawbacks is they just didn't have that natural power.
Yeah,
I mean, like a guy like Howard Davis Jr. I mean, I don't remember him. He was my coach. He was and it's the funny thing is you don't remember him. He's one of the gold medalists. I think his dubious honor was the only one from his gold medal class not to ever win a world title.
Really?
And he won the most outstanding in that the Olympics he was in. And he was he's there with a lot of good guys, with Spinks and all those guys. It was around those times. And he was great at – he was really fast and really, really technical. But when they figured out he couldn't hurt him, guys just start walking through him. So when he got – when he started fighting the bigger name guys, they just – oh, he can't hurt me with that. Okay, I'm just gonna eat a couple punches and hit him.
Do you feel like because of your sport and the very light gloves and how easy it is to knock people out, especially in the upper weight divisions where you fought, do you feel like you took less punishment than a boxer? Because I think it turns out that it's the accumulation of punches, not so much being knocked out with the one punch, but absorbing a lot of punishment and then being knocked out.
I think there's a couple things that really helped us have less damage than a boxer. One, our training doesn't allow for as much. We don't do as much much sparring as right. Or at least straight boxing sparring, because you got to do wrestling and you got to move, you got to mix right. Everything in. There's only so much time in a day and only so much workouts you can do. So you can't do as much of that. The other thing too is like the standing eight counts and, you know, stopping guys for, you know, doing eight counts and then they'll go back out and get hit again and go keep going and fighting. That we don't have. A lot of times you get a flash knockdown, a guy jumps on top of you, starts hitting, it's over. And you really right. Only got, it wasn't real hard knockdown, a flash knockdown, you would have survived from it, fought for three or four or the rest of the fight. But somebody dropped on Hunter, they got to stop it because you haven't recovered yet.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that ends stuff quicker too. So it's just.
Yeah. So the UFC guys seem to have fared better later in their career. I mean, it's still a newer sport. So, you know, we have a little time to sort this out. But a lot of boxers, when they 10 years after they retire, you can tell there's been some neurological damage. Whereas the UFC guys I've interviewed, talked to, Chuck's no exception. I haven't noticed it like I notice it with boxers.
Well, I think another thing, too, about it's the difference between, like we say, boxing's like checkers and mixed martial arts like chess. There's so many more moves and ways to win or lose. And you can't plant as hard and throw your punches or you get taken down. You can't. You got to change your stance. If you sit in a boxing stance, which boxing stance made to be able to get the most power, most effect from a stance, right? But if you stand in that, you can't stop leg kicks very easily. You can't stop takedowns very easily. You can't. There's things you can't do. So you have to change and get. You have to alter your stance and alter your punching, and so you're losing a little bit of power here and there.
Interesting.
And also, if you're wrestling half your fight, you're not always standing on your feet hitting each other.
Right. Now it's interesting. Just saying, you cannot really commit fully to sitting down on all those punches because that guy may throw a front ball kick in your sternum right in the middle of it. All right, let me hit Bet Online here. Football's in full swing. NBA Finals are they're up. Get on that because that ain't going to last that much longer. MLB playoffs up and running as well. And Sunday's games coming up in NFL. We got Raiders at Chiefs. That'd be a good game. Eagles at Steelers, Giants at Cowboys, Broncos at Patriots, Vikings at Seahawks, Dolphins at 49ers. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads and totals to props. You get in on season opening bonuses and wager on division and championship futures as well. Just head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all the great sign up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus. Do it today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. All right. Shall we do? Do you got lines there or? You got some betting lines there, Jeff? Well, I'll ask Chuck a question anyway. What do you think of the heavyweight division now in UFC? You got Stipe. You know, he just beat DC. John Jones is kind of in flux. There's a couple of Francis Ngannou. You got some good, some heavy-handed big guys in there. What do you think the future is of that division?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to see John Jones come up and do it, see how he does. And that's probably the interesting fight right now, if that's what his real plan is, to go up there. I mean, I think Jan wants to see him back at 205.
Who would be favored with Stipe and John Jones?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think you might get – I mean, probably Stipe. I mean, I think he should be. But then, you know, I think Jones comes out of favor.
I do too. How can you ever bet against John Jones? I mean,
yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting seeing him go up and fight at heavyweight. And that'll be made for some interesting fights.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. All right, Jeff, sorry, our betting lines.
No worries. Let's check the Bet Online line from Bet Online. Thursday night football, Bucks at the Bears. Tampa Bay favored by 5. I like to call that the Brady 5. Money line is Tampa Bay minus 218. And just for kicks, the odds to win the 2020 NBA Finals MVP, LeBron's at minus 300. Anthony Davis plus 300. The first Heat player, Jimmy Butler, at plus 650. And just in case you want a long shot, Kyle Kuzma is plus 25,000 for the NBA Finals MVP. And That is your Bet Online line from Bet Online. And I'm Jeff Cesari, and that's all for All Balls, All Sports.
All Balls, All Sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
I will say, I saw the trailer for A Cage Fighter. This is a real movie. There's real production in this, and Chuck's doing some real acting, at least in the trailer. It's in theaters and on demand. It's coming up this Friday, October 9th. So if you're a UFC fan, a lot of UFC fighters in this movie. And the only one who hadn't fought is Gina Gershon, who's in this movie as well. You can check out ChuckLiddell.com if you want to see what Chuck's up to. Shoot him a tweet at Chuck Liddell as well. Hey, Chuck, always good to talk to you, my friend.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, and we'll
always good talking to you.
We'll have you in studio when it's time. Jeff, thank you, my friend. I want to thank Martin Cove for joining us on today's program as well. And, ooh, I'm going to be in Stockton, California, Brookside Country Club this Monday, October 12th. What? Stand up and swing for the vote. You guys can come out and say hi. And I'm doing that. This will be this Monday. Lafayette, Louisiana, Cajun Dome, Saturday, October the 24th. Doing a live podcast there and stand up there as well. So check that out. Go to AdamCarolla.com. And check out all the live shows. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Jeff Cesario and Chuck Liddell and Martin Cove and Brian and Dawson saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Thanks to Bet Online. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get the links for the book at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.